Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney Show getting ready to roll. Got a good menu for you. Tell you what's coming up as we get it going from our studios. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. On this Tuesday around the country, Odell Beckham is in the news. Seattle still flirting with AB. That's in the news. I've got plenty of hoops. Lakers wrap up the top spot. That is in the news. And some good old-fashioned smack talk coming from the Saints setting the scene for training camp. What up, Deke?
I love that, man. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and everybody's worried about wearing masks and everything else. But it's still trash at the NFC South, because as we've speculated all offseason, it's going to be one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive, in football. Really, just look at the quarterbacks. They're all pretty dang good, including Teddy Bridgewater, who hasn't played a ton as a full-time starter, but last year, filling in for Drew Brees, he was pretty flawless. So we'll see how he does in Carolina. Tom Brady, obviously in Tampa.
Yeah.
Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, MVPs all around, man.
Yeah, and listen, even if you want to say that Carolina's rebuilding, which they are with Coach Rhule, they've got the best running back in football.
Yep.
They've got some other dynamic wide receivers, and every single draft choice was spent on the defensive side of the ball, literally every single pick. So a team that lost Keekly and had some quarterback issues, if they hit two or three, you know, doubles or triples in the draft, I mean, it wouldn't stun me if with the additional playoff teams, if they're at least in the mix in December. It's a beast of a division, no doubt. Tiki's right. Cam Jordan's the guy who's laying the foundation for the smack talk. But I gotta take you on a real little U-turn.
Go ahead.
But it's actually into the parking lot of the same conversation. All right. I'm watching some highlights earlier today of Tom Brady, second day of camp for the Bucs, right?
Yep.
And, you know, we all know about their weapons, and we all strongly surmise that they've got a chance to do a little something special this year.
Mm-hmm.
Teak, I was watching Brady today, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I've never forecast injury. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at him. I don't think he looks good at all.
He looks fragile.
I think he looks like an old man.
Well, I mean, he is an old man,
BT. I understand that.
He turned 43 yesterday, and he might have been out, you know, having some drinks last night. Here's the thing, BT. So the first workout you saw, because this is the one I was talking about 2 days ago, or maybe even last week, he looked really good. Like, he looks young and spry. But at 43, how many days in a row can you do that?
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you look great one day. The next day, it's a recovery process. So there's some attrition that we're going to see, and we might see it, like, immediately. Let's also not forget, he hasn't had a typical offseason. He might look old, but still doesn't mean he's going to perform like he's old.
No, it doesn't. It's certainly not a death sentence in the football sense to the absolute end of Brady's career. Nor is it, let me put it this way. It's a little bit of a warning flare that I'm prepared to shoot up into the sky today. Now, this came up, I don't even know, maybe it was inbounds, out of bounds, maybe it was organically, whatever it was. You and I were kicking around the over-under for Brady in terms of touchdowns. Like, if Sharp Tierney, if I was to set it, you asked me, And my number was south of 30. Matter of fact, it was like 20, I think it was 27 change.
Mm-hmm.
It was relatively menial considering who we're talking about and the abundance of weapons that Tom Brady has. But so it's not like this is a completely new thought. I don't know. I'm going to tap the brakes a little bit here on the Brady hype and the Bucks hype just a little bit, which maybe is part of the reason why as we get to Cam Jordan, Cam was feeling himself and was not shy in basically placing the Bucks where he believes they belong to be placed, which is behind the Saints. So Cam acknowledges that while Tampa's obviously gotten better, they're not the Saints.
We've got our work cut out for us. And then, of course, they have in additions. You know, you bring in Gronkowski and LeSean McCoy. You already had 2,000-yard receivers and Godwin and Mike Evans. I mean, this is a team that's fighting for second place.
Compliment, praise, lavish praise, compliment, praise, second place.
Yeah,
second
exactly.
Fiddle. I mean, it's hard. I love when Cam says stuff
Look,
like
Look, I do as well, but how right is he? And that's the question that we can't answer because we don't know what this Tampa Bay team is going to look like. It's new in a sense. When you have a new quarterback, not new, but old quarterback, let's say different. When you have a different quarterback, you can't predict, even if that different quarterback is one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback ever to play football right now. But you do look at the weapons, and Cam acknowledged this. They're plentiful, and they're exciting. They're young. They're explosive. They have Gronk even, and Gronk's not old, but, you know, Gronk is Gronk. And so you look at them and project them on paper as the best of the best because of what you see on paper. Now, the difference is with the Saints, and this is why Cam Jordan is so confident, is that they've consistently done this. They've consistently put together great season after great season after great season. They've just fallen short in the postseason. It'd really be great if they, you know, ultimately would have gotten the Super Bowl, but the regular seasons have been amazing. I mean, 12, 13 wins every single year.
Yep.
So if I'm Cam Jordan, I'm believing in myself.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not even a conversation right now because they've consistently done it and they've gotten better over the last couple of years.
And Vegas thinks the same thing. Last I checked, the Bucks were, I want to say, over under 9.5 wins. It's not as if they've positioned them as this ridiculously gaudy win total where they think they're just going to start slaying the league and dominating here. I guess I'm not anticipating as seamless of a first or who knows, maybe only season in Tampa for Tom Brady. First of all, the number's the number, and you can defy age. And by the way, I'm not rooting against Brady. I want to be clear about this. We all have profound respect for Tom and his diligence and his professionalism and his accomplishments and the way he's comported himself. He's a good guy. He's been a great teammate. He's been a great pro. He's the GOAT, all that stuff, right? But he's still 43, and he's now 43 in a building where he's got no familiarity, where, you know, okay, sure, the concepts are relatively the same, and there'll be a little tweak in the verbiage, but it's not secondhand. It's not top of mind. There's a little bit of a mechanical process. You adjust to it. Maybe, I was really thinking about this and listening to what Cam said and thinking about the state of the, not just the NFC South, by the way, but the NFC.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Niners play the Bucks, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's say for a moment, and I would not bet on this, but let's say for a moment, Teak, that the Bucks emerge as the NFC South winner, okay?
Yeah.
They still have to worry about Seattle, who now has Jamal Adams, and Metcalf going into year two, who's now already a beast. You've got to worry about the Niners, who really should have won the Super Bowl a year ago. You've got to still worry about the Vikings. You still have to show respect to Rodgers and the Packers. Somebody, I would think, between Dallas and the Eagles will emerge as a better than 9-17. Eagles 9-7 a year ago, Dallas 8-8. They're both better than that. I think something clicks this year. Get healthier, new coaches. It's a rough road in the NFC for the Bucs. It really is. I think we're kind of glossing over this, though.
It's a rough road for the Buccaneers in schedule wise. They start with the Saints and they play Carolina. So division game after division game, which is tough. Then Denver, which will be a tough. LA Chargers, which will be tough. Chicago's defense is good. We don't know how their offense is going to be. Then it's Green Bay. Like their first, half of the season is not. It's not easy. You know, the second part of this conversation is the Saints and where the Saints are right now. So let's not forget, you know, the New Orleans Saints have one of the best quarterbacks of our generation in Drew Brees, who has a championship. He throws consistently for 5,000 yards. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He also has some really great talent on the offensive side of the ball, including Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. And so they're not going to take a step back. But let's just say that Drew Brees gets hurt. Look who's sitting in the wings. It's Jameis Winston. We forget that Jameis Winston is there because he doesn't feel like a saint right now, but he's there. And if Drew Brees has an injury, something that keeps him off the field, I don't want to wish injury on anybody, but if he does, think about the motivation for a 26, soon to be 27-year-old Jameis Winston in his former division, as he was, you know, just dismissed from the Buccaneers because he couldn't quite figure it out. Guy leads the league in passing yards and touchdowns, also in interceptions, but still passing yards and touchdowns, is expecting some kind of love from the franchise that drafted him. And they're like, see ya, we're going to get Tom Brady. I mean, talk about being humbled. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody who's not in a starting position that's motivated for a chance, it's Jameis Winston. And with Sean Payton as his, you know, quarterback, gurus, head coach, I mean, I could see great things happen from the Saints, even if Drew Brees gets hurt or isn't available for them because of who they have in the wings, man.
Yeah, and T, you mentioned the start to the – and listen, the last thing we're going to start doing here in the first week of August is going win, loss. That's ridiculous. Who knows?
Even though fans of both their teams are doing that right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for sure. It doesn't mean that first of all, we don't even know when the season's starting. So let's put it that way. There could be delays. There could be – multiple interruptions. There could be a contracted or a condensed season. Yep. But you mentioned the way they start the schedule. How about on the back end? They've got Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They've got the Vikings. This is all in succession. At the Falcons. Okay. At Detroit. Now, Lions aren't, you know, but at Detroit still, you know, Stafford was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah, he was.
Very well. And then Atlanta again. So two of the last three games you're playing the Falcons. You got to play the champs and the Chiefs and the Vikings, who are rock solid. What do we know about Tom Brady and his amazing 20? Well, we know a lot, but at least specific to championships. You know when he wins? And this is largely, unless you're the Giants and Eli and you just win road game after road game, this is largely consistent with most champions in the NFL. Their successes come when they've won an inordinate amount of games, all right?
Regular season.
Yes, the Pats, 13-3, 14-2, 15-1, although they lost that one. But a lot of wins, gaudy win totals, right? First round bye, second game against the team you're going to beat at home, third game championship game in your building, which you're still probably favored by a touchdown. What Tom Brady has not done is won championships when he's had to go on the road and, you know, before. Yeah. And I say all this because I don't expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to have a gaudy enough win total to have a first round bye necessarily, and then to have back to back home games for the playoffs. So I guess I'm negative Nelly with the goat here, but I was watching him today and he looked like a dad drop, because he is.
He is. Of
he looked he like, is. Just didn't have much muscle definition. That he just looked a little lumpy. The knee brace. He looked old.
Look, he's our age, BT.
We're doing shows.
That's what I mean. So he's still doing it. So of course he's going to have days like this. And I mean, I haven't seen Drew Brees, but I'm sure Drew Brees is going to have days like this as well. Even though Drew seems like he's in better, I don't know, like football condition.
Drew got sneaky guns the last couple of years.
Yes,
that's what happened to Drew Brees.
Yeah,
maybe
it's just perceptual. And he just looks more like, dude, you're tough. You could take a pounding if you have to. Tom Brady has never looked like he could take a pounding, but he's always been successful. Mm-hmm. But the same conversation, BT, that you're having about Tom Brady, you could easily be having about Drew Brees. Now, their schedule lines up a little bit differently.
Except
but it's mostly,
he's not adjusting to a new team, which that, is part of the reason why I say what
exactly
I say.
Right. That's exactly where
That's
I was going.
Big thing.
The Saints have consistency and continuity, and there wasn't a ton of turnover. Their stars are still their stars on both sides of the football, and most importantly, Drew Brees He knows Sean Payton. They know that they're symbiotic in how they're thinking and what their game, their plan of attack is. And if they're making little adjustments, they can do it on the fly. And the fact that they had no offseason, at least no in-person offseason this year, doesn't affect them like it's going to affect Tom Brady, who's coming from New England to Bruce Arians. It's a different scenario, even though the circumstances surrounding both guys are very, very similar, meaning age and potential attrition down the line.
I want to ask you this real quick, so I want to get into Beckham coming up next. A really interesting thought on the season or no season. We'll get to that. You mentioned Arians, though, and I want to give you the word on this because you know him as you've known him your whole life. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But Bruce Arians, and I don't say this from a place of disrespect at all. Yeah. I love the guy. He's amazing. He's as cool as it gets. But does it seem, and I'm asking the question, it's not a declarative statement, it's a question. Does it seem like Bruce Arians is all in this year coaching?
Yeah, he is. But I think it's a different scenario. And here, I'll explain it to you, BT.
I'm listening.
So Bruce Arians is, you know, we know how his story was. He took him forever to get a head coaching opportunity. It only happened because Chuck Pagano got sick. He won Coach of the Year. Then he goes to Arizona, wins another Coach of the Year. He retires and sits in the booth. He becomes a colleague of ours at CBS. He's just, I don't want to travel this much. I don't want to do this unless I'm on the sideline. The opportunity in Tampa comes available. He goes back. And he loves it. But when he goes back, I think it's partly to go win. I want to fix Jameis Winston. I want to be in the South. He's a Southern boy. Obviously grew up in Alabama, went to Alabama. Coached at Alabama after going to school at Virginia Tech. And, you know, he started to empower people. So Byron Leftwich, he hires black offensive coordinator. He has a black defensive coordinator in Todd Bowles. He has a black a special teams coordinator. He hired two women. One is a defensive line coach. One is an assistant, you know, strength conditioning coach. His assistant head coach is also African American, who handles the run game. And so what I feel like Bruce Arians is doing over these last couple of seasons, as well as trying to win, and he's got great talent around him, he's empowering people. Right. He's putting it on Byron Leftwich. This is you, man. You run with this. I'm here for guidance for you, but you run with this. And so I think what you're thinking is because of what's also happening. I don't think he's checked out, but I think there's also something else happening with Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that's not talked about as far as winning and losing in 2020 or 2019 and in 2020.
Fair enough. But I meant more with COVID. That's really what I meant. What he's doing is great, and he's always been that guy.
Well, I think you're talking about, like, I'm going to be on the sideline.
This is not criticism. This is the reality of the virus. But to win a championship.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think because of how he set up his staff, I think he can be safe. You know what I mean? I think he can take a step back. He's 66 years old.
Belichick's not taking a step back. Sean Payton's not taking a step back.
Yeah, I hear you, but
I'm just asking.
And I don't think he's taking a step back. I think it just sounds like he is. I just know that he's built his staff so that it's really empowered. And it's why, you know, you root for them, man. They have a ton of coaches. I think they have more than average. And they have a lot of diversity in that coaching staff because he's trying to create opportunity. It's a separate story than what we're talking about, but I do think it is an important story relative to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. All right. This is a pretty important story coming up as well here. So Odell Beckham Jr. delivers, a pretty on-the-money message for the NFL. The question is, not if it was the right message. It absolutely was. But was it the wrong person delivering the message? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico, 1-855-212-4CBS. You know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, check us out. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. All the content, make sure you subscribe and click the alerts as the fresh content drops. It'll notify you, let you know what's happening there. So we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds next. And the Raptors, perpetually disrespected. I want my respect, Tommy Gunn. But I'll tell you, I, for one, might have to change my tune on their ability to defend their title. We'll get to that coming up. I know Nick Nurse is great, and he got hosed in Coach of the Year award. Hosed. But I gave them no chance going into this thing, and I might have to modify that a bit, Teak. We'll have a little hoops discussion coming
up.
Right?
Big win over the Heat yesterday.
Yeah.
Thumped 107. Them too. Well, yeah. Well, no, this one was, it got away early. They were thumping, and Miami came back, and then ultimately Toronto hangs on for a 4-point win. But yeah, I mean, Toronto and Nick Nurse deserve more credit than we've given them. And you said this 2 weeks ago, maybe?
About Nurse.
Maybe three?
No,
maybe
about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about the Coach of the Year.
Well, no. I said of all the awards, because this was the day that the NBA came out and said that
they were going to give them before. Not,
they were going to vote on them.
Yes, not counting the 8-game seeding games.
Correct. The restart would have no impact on the award. So I went so far as to say, I mean, Nick Nurse is obviously the Coach of the Year, but even beyond that, if I had a vote for one of the awards, including MVP and DPOY and Sixth Man, whatever, rookie, everything, that I would cast one ballot for Nick Nurse as head coach. And, of course, he doesn't win, which he lost by, I think, by a vote, a vote or two.
Vote, but it was a tie with Billy Donovan and Budenholzer. But
great choices, but we'll do some basketball next, and the Raptors will get a lot of respect here. I think Tiki's maybe been giving them a little more of a chance than me, but we kind of gloss over them, and they deserve more, so we'll get to that coming up. Odell Beckham Jr. said this a couple of weeks ago. This article just made the rounds. It was kind of late yesterday. It's obviously a big story today. He basically said that did not think the league should hold a 2020 season, and that it doesn't make any sense given the state of the world, and that obviously they're just doing it for the money. What's interesting is, I don't really know, outside the maniacal fan whose reality is so distorted, they'll say anything to watch football, to get football, but the message is pretty on point. I'm not sure if I love the person delivering the message.
Yeah, well, look, Odell back in July had a conversation with the Wall Street Journal magazine, and it was just released. And so you had to think of the keep this in context. But back in July, even mid to late July, there wasn't a lot of clarity about the protocols and the processes that the NFL was going to go through in order to get the NFL season off. We knew that they were moving in the right direction, and we'd always talked about how they didn't have to worry about it because they weren't in season. But then all of a sudden, training camp was here, and it's like, dude, what's the plan? And people didn't know. And so OBJ, and this is his quote from the article, says, quote, "We're not ready for football season. So why are we trying to push forward? It's obviously for their money. And that bothers me because there's always been this. And I hate saying it like that, but the owners," this is their attitude, "is, oh, we own the players, and it's just kind of unfair going on that they don't see us as human beings." It's interesting how he positions that, because I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't think they feel like they own the players and they don't see you as human beings, but I do believe that they see you as a partner that's necessary to help bring in billions of dollars. So I get his point. He maybe went a step too far, but this is about the money. And yeah, I agree with you, BT. If it was someone else, we'd hear this quote and say, he's absolutely right. Yeah, of course it is. But we hear it and say it's OBJ. We're like, no, he's just being a knucklehead. And he's probably not being a knucklehead. He's actually being really salient here.
I agree. I think it's a very cerebral, very, calculated and risk-averse take. And I have no problem with it. I don't know how you could. Listen, he's going to play, and it's important you point this out. It was a couple of weeks ago with the Wall Street Journal magazine. So by the time it hit print, we've had a little progress here.
Yep.
We've had players going to camp. There's been testing. Players have opted out. By the way, the deadline to officially opt out is Thursday. That's done. Teak and I can weave that in a little later in the show. We'll see, how that's going to further impact the league here. But the owners of the teams, it's always been like this. And, even in the NBA, where the players are empowered and have this incredible voice and platform, at the end of the day, you don't think that the owners kind of view them I'm not saying that, not as subhuman, I'm not saying that, but
yeah,
as pawns in their financial portfolio.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I think it's
too harsh to say that, because maybe some owners think that way. They just have zero connection with any of the players. They don't see them. They don't have conversations with them. They don't know them as people. But, you know, I think, like, I had a good relationship with both of my owners at the time, Wellington Mara and Bob Tisch. And so I don't think they looked at me as a piece of a pawn to move around. I think they looked at you as a partner, obviously an employee, but a partner in putting on a product. And especially when that product is so valuable, right? The product that the NBA puts out, the product that the NFL puts out, Major League Baseball even, whose ratings were sky high when the pandemic finished for them and they started, NHL, et cetera. The product is so valuable. I think it's antiquated and cliche-ish to say they look at you as like they own you. No, they look at you as a partner that's putting out a product that is valuable both to them as owners and to you as a player who's making $16 million a year, Odell Beckham Jr. So, I mean, it's different when you it's all about how you craft it and how you shape it. I would think that most owners would look at it the way that I'm looking at it, and most players, if you're not making hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars, might look at it the way OBJ is saying it.
Understood. Until, you know, the player is decayed and a shell of his former self, and the owner can callously cut that player to preserve his profit.
Yep.
And then suddenly the relationship is not necessarily the way you described, but it's rooted in business, which is my point.
Yeah, that's the fault. That's the fault of the CBA. And
but that doesn't matter. It still exists.
Yeah, but that the owners and the players negotiate this. BD.
No, I'm saying, but like the point that I made about the relationship, how the owners view the players, even though it was negotiated, it still exists. Like, that's independent of my point. Like, that's part of the reason why they can continue with that relationship if some choose to do it. Listen, I'm not saying that Mark Cuban doesn't care about people. I'm not saying that, and you've told us, you know, stories, and obviously knowing your history with the Giants, you know, what you did when Mr. Mara passed away and what it meant to you. I understand. I know there are large exceptions, but at the end of the day, these guys are here to make money.
Of course they
are.
That's
it. They're here to make money.
But so are the players.
I get
that. You're not playing for free. You're not getting beat up and taking risk and everything else because you love the game. Like, you also might love the game, but if there was another way that you could make $10 million a year and not get beat up, I'm sure you would do that. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't say that it's not about making money for the players as well. Now, for the vast majority of them early in their careers, they're not. I mean, relatively speaking, to the average American, they're making a king's ransom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A minimum salary of whatever it is, $200,000 for guys. Maybe it's a little bit less than
that. Well, what do they get if they opt out? They get $350.
Yeah, if you are high risk.
High risk. $150 if you're not.
But think about this. Think about that. If you opt out and don't play a game and you're on a team, you're not doing jack. You're not working for a year. You're making more than most people in this country.
But true. But if you get cut, this was clarified today.
That's right.
If you get cut, it's basically an advance on your 2021 salary. If you get cut, you've got to pay the team back.
That's right.
Is that too petty, by the way?
I mean,
feels a little petty.
I think it is a little bit petty, but I also think it's kind of necessary, right? Because if you have to fix your roster in real time, so – you know, because I thought about this a lot, BT. I'm like, man, that's harsh, dude. You're going to opt out because you're not comfortable, and then they're just going to say, peace out, see you, and cut you. Uh-huh. But think about what's happening on a team. Guy goes down with injury. Guy proves to be ineffective. Kicker does whatever, right? You got to sign somebody. You don't have a roster spot. You got to cut somebody. And so you might be opted out, and not because they don't want you anymore, but simply because they needed the space. They got to cut you. So it's a little bit nuanced for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll see. He also brought up something about the NBA. He was asked in the article. We'll wrap this up here. Get to inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a minute. And Odell was asked about, you know, really, what's the difference between the NFL and the NBA during the COVID-19 situation? He said, quote, "I can understand basketball was already in the playoffs." They weren't, but close enough. Five-on-five basketballs in an arena. It's going to be more intense than regular season games. Hooping is different, though, than playing an 11-on-11 contact sport where there's 80 people in a locker room.
Yeah, that's the big thing, BT.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
True. Yeah,
it's not 80 people, but I mean, it's 50 some players, but it probably is 80 with 30 coaches and. Yeah. It might be, man.
Equipment, might be trainers.
Yeah, you know, that's right. It's a good
no
point.
No reporters,
but they got to do it at the whatever this isolated setup that they have now. But it is kind of 80 people.
Although, forget about the number of players. That's obviously a big advantage or disadvantage, depending upon your point of view, for the NFL versus the NBA. But I would argue, not that it even really matters because it is what it is, but I would even contest that statement from Beckham that it's more dangerous 11 in terms of contracting the virus if somebody has it. Teak, if I have it or if you have it and we're playing in an NBA, even though we're in the bubble, but if we're playing basketball, that close proximity, breathing, sweating, droplets, you're going to get it. So I don't know that it matters.
I would argue that NBA players
is more. Yeah.
Because you're literally in somebody's face.
With no helmet.
With nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, these guys don't wear masks. I honestly think a lot of football players are going to wear masks. While they're playing, because it's not constant movement. It's not like up and back to court. Whereas this kind of, it's a burst, but it's not constant movement. Where if you're having a mask over your face, think about that. You can't hear me now, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a mask,
if
you have a mask over your face, think about how it affects your breathing. So
well, Rip Hamilton was doing that for years with the Pistons when he broke his nose.
That's right.
And that thing slides all over the place. At least with football, to Tiki's point, it will remain. For the most part, stationary unless somebody grabs it.
That's
or
right.
There's a violent tilt, whatever. But
that's right.
We'll see. We'll get answers soon enough. We just keep chipping away one day at a time, like the old TV show, the old sitcom, Snyder, the janitor, one day at a time. Valerie Bertinelli when she was with Van Halen.
That's right.
How's it going? I actually like that theme song. That was a good one. You don't remember it,
I can't. I hear it, but I can't.
Start now. Now I one day at a time. But I can't remember how it started.
I know.
I'll get it in a break, obviously. So let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back a little. Oh, you know what? Ack, how did the one? This guy knows everything from the 80s. What? How did the one day at a time theme song start?
The first couple of words were "This is it." Repeated.
This is it. Like the song, This Is It.
This Is It. This Is It. No.
How's it go?
This is life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they're packing up and they're driving.
This is it.
This is it. This is it. And then Schneider comes in.
This is life.
And by the way, how about Schneider trying to mack on all the girls? How would you trust that guy in your apartment? He's got like 90 keys. He's wearing a white T-shirt. The pack of Marlboros here, he's all tatted up. I wouldn't trust that guy around my daughters. The guy had a key to the apartment, Schneider. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. Hit the road, man. All right, let's get Axe update. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here's Rich. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by our friends at Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done. This week, Nikola Jokic, the Joker. Nuggets big man pumping in 25 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists in the two games since the NBA restart. Commenced in Orlando. And Denver 1-1 in those two games. Now, he's the player of the week, but if we're doing player of the day, I would have to say it's his teammate Michael Porter Jr. 37 points? Went absolutely bonkers. I believe it was the first Nugget. What was the stat? Something with Carmelo in 04. First Nugget under a certain age to have 35-plus. He was phenomenal. That's a steal. Anyway, Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Just check them out, Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Yeah, Michael Porter is a guy who I think a lot of teams. You see the highlights for what he did yesterday, Teak? Almost 40 points.
I did. He was spectacular. We knew he was going to be good, but after all that missed time, we didn't know it was going to be this good.
Well, especially with the back injury, you just don't know if the body's going to be resilient enough to plow through it. But he's a player a lot of teams are going to lament passing on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does the rest of the way. All right, take a little inbounds, out of bounds. You good?
Yep, let's do it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, just moving right along here. Fresh off inking his record deal last week, Chargers defensive end Joey Bosa had a pretty interesting take on playing the 2020 season through the coronavirus pandemic.
Honestly, I think the most responsible team this year is going to be the one that wins. It's just going to take guys not to get too comfortable. I think now everybody's hypersensitive and being super safe, but maybe a month down the road, people are just going to maybe get a little comfortable. And it's, like you said, it's going to be up to keep each other accountable.
Okay, pretty interesting. Inbounds, out of bounds. The team with the most discipline in following the various safety protocols this year will reach the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that because that's just, it's too generalized, but it is an interesting thought because if you lose, say three or four guys and one of them happens to be a quarterback or a severely important player, how do you replace that person? And you may only lose them for 2 weeks, let's say, but those 2 weeks could be at a critical juncture in the season. And now all of a sudden, as you were alluding to with Tom Brady, you're playing in the wild card as opposed to having a first round bye.
Yep.
Like that will matter. And I think that ultimately determines more of who goes to the Super Bowl than, you know, who's most disciplined and has the least amount of infections on their team.
I'm with you. I'm gonna say out of bounds. I like his premise, but it's just far too specific because the variables that can infiltrate the season are just too far and wide to cast a net to have a clue outside of saying basically anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, you're not a downtrodden team. A team that was 4-12 last year or, you know, 5-11 is not going to win the Super Bowl in all probability. So I'm going to protect myself from a freezing cold take there. Win the Super Bowl just because other teams get hit with the COVID situation more than they do. I mean, at some point, there's going to be a bare minimum amount of requisite talent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're going to have to work around stoppages and the virus. So good thought, responsible thought, but I'm with you out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Let's get to hoops. Bucks head man Mike Budenholzer. Got nothing but love for you. Got nothing but bud for you. Thunder head coach Billy Donovan tied in the voting. They win the National Basketball Coaches Association Coach of the Year Award. I think an acronym could have worked there, guys. The voting is done by the 30 NBA head coaches, each head coach selecting one winner. All right, Raptors head man Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is the best. Finished one vote behind Bud and Donovan. In or out, Nick Nurse has had a better season coaching than both Budenholzer and Billy Donovan.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this only because of the consistency with which Bud has handled the Bucks, obviously. And I think this award is also kind of a carryover, even though Nurse could get carryover votes as well because of the championship last year. But that was with Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to say out of bounds, though. I think Bud's done an unbelievable job with the target clearly on their back because Giannis won the MVP and the fact that they were looked at as the favorite all season long.
Inbounds. I mean, this is really inbounds. I mean, Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job, and you know, I don't view it as a continuation ever from the previous season. You know, I don't think really anybody who votes. I hope not. I certainly wouldn't if I was voting. It's this year. The Raptors have a better record than they did with Kawhi Leonard last year. With Kawhi Leonard, I mean, let's face it. We all relegated this team to a 7 seed. To a sick, NBA champs. I mean, amazing story. Kawhi's bouncing. Pascal's a nice story. And, you know, Nick Nurse is a pretty good coach here. And we love Freddie VanVleet. And yeah, Kyle Lowry's a bulldog, but come on. Instead, they are only 5.5 games worse than the Milwaukee Bucks. This is so far inbounds, I can't even continue. And Nick Nurse got hosed. There's no doubt. Nick Nurse got screwed. He's done a great job.
Are you in or are you out?
Number three here, Teague. Let's do a little Shohei Ohtani, Angels dual threat or former dual threat. Not going to be pitching for the next 4 to 6 weeks here due to a forearm strain. And I read it's between a grade one and a grade two. So it's between the two. You'd hope it was grade one. It's actually between the two. So that's a little ominous. Anyway, just 12 career starts on the mound. His career earned run average is 4.39. Didn't pitch at all in 2019 because of the elbow issue. So, in or out, the Angels need to play Ohtani solely as a position player for the rest of his contract.
I'm going to say in bounds of this, BT. I was willing to dance with Ohtani to hope that he gets right. But after a while, you got to stop hoping when the same issue keeps coming back and back over and over again. And the last thing you want is to lose him for a year because his athleticism, because he has to have another Tommy John surgery. So I'm going to say in bounds of this one, BT. Let him just be the athlete and banger that he can be if he just focuses on hitting.
I totally agree with you. This is the absolute right instinct. It's in bounds here. You got to scrap the mound. I love that they tried it. I thought it was so cool. It's like, you know, we all played like Little League mm-hmm. and, you know, even in high school pitching and playing, you know, going back shortstop, whatever it might be, center field, going behind the dish. A couple of guys in college can do it. But, I mean, it is a rare breed. In the major leagues, I remember Brooks Kieschnick. Old Cubby fans, he was quarterback, Brooks Kieschnick. You might remember that. You remember the name Brooks Kieschnick?
No, I don't
Brooks
remember him.
Brooks Kieschnick. He was, I want to say he was, now I'm going to have to make sure I got this right. I want to say he was a first-round pick of the Cubs. Okay. Diesel, check this out, please. Lefty hitter, outfielder, was also a quarterback, and never became the baseball player that they thought he would because he was, for whatever reason, but... the point being, I kind of blurred sports there, but in baseball, if you try to do both, like if you try to do football and baseball, you sacrifice something here. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you sacrifice something. And what's happening to Ohtani, he's not getting it done on the mound, and because he's missing time, it is now stagnating his growth as a hitter.
And he's a good hitter.
He could be a great hitter.
Yes.
Like he could be a pillar benchmark next to Mike Trout. And Rendon for the next who knows how many years. I mean, he's got easy power. He runs, you know, more so first to third, first to home, second to not so. I'm not saying he's going to steal, but he's got good wheels. He's an athlete. He's got a good arm in the outfield, obviously. I'd stop messing around, and I would just let him jack home runs and moonshots. Opposite field, easy. You got to take him off the mound. That experiment is over. He's got to stop. Gotta stop.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Brooks Kieschnick. This is going to bother me now. Yeah. Brooks Kieschnick.
Yeah. Now, I agree with you, BT. I love the idea of the experiment, like you were saying. It was fun because nobody had done it. I mean, really, consistently since Babe Ruth, maybe. But there's probably a reason that two-way stars.
Yeah.
Who have probably did this from high school through even through college, some of them stopped doing it when they got to the majors.
No question. It's just the commitment and you know, people think, well, just getting bullpen sessions in and getting tee work in and soft toss and batting practice, but it's also scouring film, mm-hmm. like the nuance of the mechanics that you know as a former pro. There's no shortcuts. Brooks Kieschnick, first round pick of the Cubbies. It was of the Cubbies. Yeah, it was a quarterback too. Brooks Kieschnick, there's a name from the past. Coming up. Hour number two. All right, so we heard from Aaron Rodgers and his thoughts. Now we'll hear from Matt LaFleur. And the interesting thing is LaFleur's thoughts and Rodgers' thoughts don't necessarily intersect. That's straight up. Hour two coming at you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.